Dear friends, old and new, good morning. Would you stand with me as we come to God's Word through the Old Testament lesson, Isaiah chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, the Song of the Vineyard. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a vine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there for me to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Dear Father, make us people, the people of your vineyard, who grow sweet, lasting fruit, all because of Jesus, your Son, who died in the middle of the vineyard, who spilled his blood in the middle of us, so that we could become like him, alive with his love, with his justice, and his righteousness. Lord, make us your fruitful vineyard, all for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, happy anniversary, Redeemer. Happy anniversary. When I think of anniversaries, strangely, I immediately go to the Flintstones, that old cartoon. If you don't know it, as they say in Tennessee, check it out on the Google or on the YouTube if you're too young for that. But the Flintstones, for those of us old enough to remember, had the famous caveman, Fred Flintstone, his wife, Wilma, their beautiful little girl, Pebbles, their best friends, Barney and Betty Rubble, and they lived in the Stone Age, Dino, their dinosaur slash dog. And I loved the Flintstones when I was a boy because of the stories and the retro gadgets that would come along, you know, the bowling alleys with rocks and octopuses who would put the pins back in place, and the woolly mammoth that Wilma would hold out in the yard and sprinkle the yard with the mammoth's trunk, and the pelican that would stand over in the corner of the kitchen and open its big beak to be the trash can. I loved all of that. I can still remember all of that vividly. One of my favorite episodes of the Flintstones, though, is an anniversary episode. You see, Fred wants to give Wilma something special for their anniversary, something great. And the older I get, the more I identify with Fred. You know, he's this kind of dumpy big guy that everybody really kind of likes, but he never does anything just right. He marries this amazingly hot redhead and has hot redheaded children. You know, not just one daughter, but, you know, three daughters in my case. Okay, so I identify with Fred. But on this occasion, Fred wants to get something really good. He wants to do it right for Wilma on the anniversary. And so he buys her a piano, but he can't get the piano delivered. And so he has to break into the music store at night and carry it home. And they get arrested, he and Barney do, carrying the piano back to Wilma. But all along the way, everybody just starts singing this song. And finally, when Wilma comes to the police station on their anniversary night to bail Fred out, they all sing, even the night court judge, sing this song, "Happy Anniversary, Happy Anniversary, Happy Anniversary, Happy Anniversary." I won't give you any more. In another age, we would have had Peyton or Dupere compose an anniversary song or cantata. We don't have that. You have me doing the Flintstones for you. But fortunately, there's another song here. And that is Isaiah's song. This is very much this song of the vineyard, like an anniversary song in Israel. It was probably first written, but assuredly used around the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles, in which Israel would come and remember their anniversary with God, of God's bringing them out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery, bringing them out of Egypt across the Red Sea, sustaining them through the years in the desert, and then bringing them into a land that was not their own, that they did not deserve, that they could not capture in their own strength, or they could not cultivate in their own hand. But God simply gave them all this abundant harvest, and they were to come in booths all to Jerusalem year after year and camp out, as it were, and live in these little lean-tos and huts and drink the best wine and eat the best food available and celebrate their anniversary to remember what God had done. It's a great time to remember what God has done here, isn't it? God has done so much in this place. This has been a wonderful place for people like us to work in. It's been a wonderful place of community where people have come around one another and cried tears of joy together over weddings and births together, but tears of sadness over deaths like Jay's and Marlon's and John's and Nicole's and Dottie's and many others, countless others, of which I'm not directly aware. A place where people have come around you in times of illness and struggle and difficulty, sometimes of your own making, or sometimes when you've been sinned against or abandoned. And it's been this kind of place. It's been this kind of place that's allowed students to catch the faith anew and to grow up into adulthood and maybe to marry or to press further into the difficulties and the challenges, but the joys and the opportunities of singleness. It's been this kind of place, above all, I think, the kind of place where across 20 years, people could come back to a faith, perhaps that they lost, perhaps that they wondered, does anybody really believe this gospel in a full way anymore? Is there a place with depth and substance that takes seriously all the challenges in the world and in life, but really still believes the ancient news, the good news of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for sinners? It's been this kind of place of gravitas, of substance, an anchor for the soul, as the gospel has been remembered and celebrated and lived out here. And especially that's happened in worship, right? What is Redeemer without our worship, without the beautiful traditions from Scripture itself, from Old Covenant and New Covenant ages, the traditions tried and tested in the ancient liturgies of the church across the ages, of form and structure, the singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and the preaching of the gospel, redemptive, historical preaching and teaching that is centered on the love of the Father through the life and death and resurrection of the Son, poured out to us by the Spirit, that has just anchored us, that's been what we've been about. And it all starts, doesn't it, here through worship. And so we've got so much to celebrate on our anniversary. And like the people in Isaiah's time, perhaps we want to just sit back and feast. Let the wine flow liberally. Let the food come in. Let's just move on to our feast here and off to our places of feasting. We've been feasting here all weekend. It's been beautiful. But put yourself back in Isaiah's time for a minute. Put yourself back in this harvest feast. The wine is flowing. The food is good. And you begin to hear this minstrel stand up and sing. And he begins to sing. And his first words catch you because they're words of a beloved and of a vineyard. Oh, this is going to be something like the Song of Songs. This is going to be a love song. This is going to be somewhere for the wine to really take me, right? Perhaps with my beloved wife, my husband. Or maybe it's about God and us and God loving us. And that's good. But the minstrel turns out to be a prophet.
And the prophet does what prophets do. He catches you all off guard. And he says, well, I'm singing of the beloved, but God is the beloved. And I'm singing about God's vineyard and you're God's vineyard. And God has done everything he possibly could for you in this vineyard. And you know what? You've done nothing but bear sour grapes. Literally stink fruit. When the text says wild grapes, literally the translation would be stink fruit. You, he says, are the vineyard of the Lord of hosts, the house of Israel. And the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice. But behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. The Hebrew there is stunning. God comes to look for justice, for mishpat, but finds bloodshed, mishpah. He comes looking for righteousness, the righteousness that he gives his people as a gift imputed to our lives that he longs to see lived out in the functions and forms and shapes of our lives. He comes to look for tzedakah, but he hears only the cries of the abandoned, the oppressed, the abused, the forgotten, siakwa. See, we can appear to have good fruit, and our fruit may be just feral, wild, stink fruit. And Isaiah wants us to think about that this morning. See, my favorite memories of Redeemer are not so much about all the great things that we've done, all about the beauty and the power and the structure of our worship. I came here to enter into that. You probably came here to enter into that and celebrate that. I came here 20 years ago for that. And that is beautiful and that is lovely. But it is only as good as it gives us Christ in our need, in our brokenness, in a righteousness being given to us again and again in these services that is not our own, that comes by faith in Jesus and is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's all that matters. You remember what God says in the big story. What he says through the prophets again and again. I don't desire your sacrifices. I want mercy. I don't need a blood of rams, a river flowing blood. I want justice. What is good, O man, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Broken people, seeing our need, who have entered into the justice and mercy of God ourselves, and then live lives of mercy and justice for the world around us. God doesn't care so much about our liturgy. God cares about grace flowing to us and flowing out of us to the world. Amen. That's what God cares about. That's the fruit he's looking for. So my favorite memories of Redeemer are not about a great sermon. They're not about the perfect hymn. They're not about the structure of the liturgy. My favorite memories are of things like this, of Chris Fisher, a college student. A college student meeting a man named Michael on a bus and finding out that he has AIDS and that he lives alone, going and washing dishes for him and cleaning up his apartment when people at that time thought you got AIDS that way, just by touching stuff. And going and caring for them and then bringing him to church and then welcoming him to my house along with his family, you know, for dinner. That's what I remember. I remember Bill Peacock, you know, befriending a man who lived in an utter fantasy world on the streets, who was really rather ugly to look at, who had no teeth, and loving him and embracing him. And when I would invite him over to eat at my house, I remember on a Christmas Eve having this man come eat at my house. I thought I'm doing something great. And then my family's going to Florida to see grandmother, and I take him back downtown to spend Christmas Eve and Christmas Day on a bench with an extra roll of toilet paper because he's got a stomach problem. But Bill takes him into his house. Again and again and again loves this man who really didn't deserve to be loved. I think about that. I think about Michael Allison befriending homeless and needy people and bringing them into our lives such that an entire mercy ministry was born out of this church and into this community. Those are the things that I remember. I remember this congregation where a young woman from South Texas met a man from Nigeria. She was very fair. He was very dark. Her parents didn't approve of that wedding. And so the women of Redeemer gave her a wedding. I remember us not knowing how to welcome a Buddhist student from another part of the world. But we tried anyway, and through our brokenness, God showed him the love of Jesus. I remember a young woman in trouble, having to live a lie. I was so afraid she would be condemned by us, but finding a friend in Kelly Peacock who loved her and loved her toward Jesus and showed her she could share all of her burdens and her brokenness. And Jesus was bigger and wider with love and power and grace than she could have ever imagined. Those are the stories that I remember. Marvin and Susan and Molly and Ed helping Barbara take by faith the step to give her children away to a Christian family, not in a step of abandonment, but in a step of faith, because she couldn't move out of her addictions. And she knew that was the way of grace for her children. And she did. And she lived. And she died by faith. See, that's what I remember. You love Leonard Payton because he writes hymns like this over here that we sing. And I love that. Let me tell you about Leonard Payton. Leonard Payton has had hundreds of internationals eat in his home. He and Lori have had dozens of them live with them when they had nowhere else to go. Leonard Payton is responsible for international student ministry beginning here, welcoming the outsider and the stranger and the alien and the foreigner before Derek and Liesl came, before RUFI ever came. That's what I remember. And so as we don't just look behind, as we look ahead, may we do so with these memories in view, Isaiah's challenge and warning in view, that I don't really care about all these other things. I don't care about the show and the appearance. I want good fruit of justice and righteousness and mercy and love out of brokenness and humility, Redeemer. That's what I want. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for you as your founder. The epistle lesson reminded us, forget what is behind, look toward what is ahead. The gospel tells us that Jesus came into the vineyard and actually died. The Father allowed the Son to spill His blood in the middle of the vineyard so this kind of fruitfulness could come and grow for our sakes and the world's sake. Here's what I long for you. That in the next 20 years, you've made great beginnings. But that you embrace this place, that you don't come here just as a destination for worship. That you embrace this place with its needs and its challenges, with its opportunities for the gospel to flourish in word and in deed, so that justice and righteousness are growing up in this neighborhood that, as David Cassidy said yesterday, used to be a bombed out place where an old airport was. I long for this for you. But here's the good news. You don't have to worry about my longings. You don't have to be burdened putting on my clothes. I got up this morning in the dark, like I do every Sunday, trying not to wake my wife, but failing. Wilma has to suffer with her fret. And as I got up in the dark, Wilma had put clothes for me out in the closet at the winter's house where we were staying. And I get up and fumble around and find the dark suit. And I pull it out and I begin to put the pants on. And I know I'd eaten a lot this weekend, but I couldn't begin to put them on. And I begin to scream, I can't put these on! I can't get this pants on! And I wrestle. And Fran gets up and literally tries, okay, suck it in! And she's pulling. And I pull them off in disgust and say, what am I going to do? And then I just see this stripe running down them. I said, wait a minute, those aren't my pants. Those are Ben Winters pants. I cannot fit into the pants of an 18-year-old man, let me tell you. You don't have to fit into my pants. Thanks be to God. You don't have to fit into my burdens or desires for you. But you do, by the grace of Jesus Christ, getting to fit into the clothes of righteousness He provides so that you can be people of justice and righteousness in this neighborhood, in your neighborhoods, everywhere you go, everywhere you live and you play and you work. Put on Christ. Bear good fruit that will last forever. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word. It comes to us through a structure like the lectionary. We didn't pick it today, and yet out of that structure, power and appropriateness and challenge and hope come to us from an ancient prophet. Lord Jesus, take this word, press it down into us deeply to challenge us and yet ultimately encourage us. Jesus, with You being the Lord of the vineyard who spilled Your blood in the middle of it so we could grow not wild grapes, but good, beautiful, sweet grapes for You and the world to taste. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.